We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So what you're saying is don't play drums on the desk when the mic is on.
Yeah, don't turn the mic on and then start slapping the desk.
In fairness, I forgot that I had turned the mic on. So, you know. Welcome back. Hour two of the Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate, all across the upstate and around the world on your smart speaker. All you need to do is say, Alexa, hey, Alexa, play ESPN Upstate, and she'll say,
boom, playing ESPN Upstate now.
I like how Alexa's bunk has just gotten less and less enthusiastic as this has gone on.
Next time should be
fine.
I'll play it.
Jerk. Tell Alexa, play ESPNUpstate.com. She'll do it. You can listen to us around the world. And if you don't have an Alexa, that's okay. We're on the regular old internet, too. All you got to do is go to www.radio.com/ESPN Upstate/listen. When you do that, there's going to be a big old fat purple play button right there in the middle of the page. You push play and you can listen to ESPN Upstate around the clock anywhere that there is an internet connection and a speaker. www.radio.com/ESPN Upstate/listen. All right. Told you guys early in the show, we're going to have some heavy segments here, and this is going to be another one of them. The conversation surrounding what happened with NFL first ballot Hall of Famer Drew Brees yesterday, because Drew Brees went on Yahoo Finance, and before I get too deep into setting the segment up, we'll just play it. I have comments from Drew Brees, Malcolm Jenkins, Ed Reed, Russell Wilson, and Akiem Nix. And we're going to have all of that sound for you coming up. But I have to start with cut 1A. This is what Drew Brees had to say yesterday on Yahoo Finance that started this discussion. Here's Drew Brees yesterday on Yahoo Finance.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. Every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better. And that we are all part of the solution. I think we all recognize the changes that need to take place. And I do think it's about action versus just, you know, everybody's going to social media and kind of saying their piece. Obviously, there are riots and there are protests, and people are certainly out there showing their frustration as well. But I think at the end of the day, we need to find ways to work together, to provide opportunities for one another, to continue to move our country forward to a bigger and better place.
So there's Drew Brees yesterday, and he went with the I will never be okay with people disrespecting the flag, which is the big point of contention that came up when Colin Kaepernick started this whole protest back in 2016. That was the comment that a lot of people had. Let me give you, in fact, I'll tell you what, I will give you the reply from some other folks around the league first, and then I'll address it. Let me go to cut 1B. This is Drew Brees' teammate, Malcolm Jenkins. Now, Malk, former Philadelphia Eagle, was also with the Saints before he got sent up to Philly. Malcolm Jenkins was on the front line with Colin Kaepernick when this whole thing started. He is a dude that has been kind of at the forefront of the social discussions regarding Black Americans and Black NFL players over the past few years. He is, remember, a teammate of Drew Brees, and we'll address that angle coming up in a minute, but here is Malcolm Jenkins.
Drew, unfortunately, you're somebody who doesn't understand their privilege. You don't understand the potential that you have to actually be an advocate for the people that you call brothers. You don't understand the history and why people like me, people with my skin color, whose grandfather fought for this country, who served, and I still protested against that, not against the national anthem, but against what was happening in America and what the fabric of this country is for, or stands for. The onslaught of we have to deal with is crazy right now. Drew Brees, if you don't understand how hurtful, how insensitive your comments are, you are part of the problem. Here we are in 2020 with the whole country on fire. Everybody witnessing a Black man dying at the hand, being murdered at the hands of the police, with his just in cold blood for everybody to see. The whole country is on fire. And the first thing that you do is criticize one's peaceful protest. That was years ago when we were trying to signal a sign for help and signal for our allies and our white brothers and sisters, the people we considered to be friends, to get involved. It was ignored. And here we are now with the world on fire, and you still continue to first criticize how we peacefully protest because it doesn't fit in what you do and your beliefs, without ever acknowledging that a fact that the man was murdered at the hands of police in front of us all, and that it has been continuing for centuries, that the same brothers that you break the huddle down with before every single game, the same guys that you bleed with and go on a battle with every single day, go home to communities that have been decimated. If you don't understand that other people experience something totally different than you, then when you talk about being the brotherhood and all this other bull, it's just lip service, or it's only on the field. Because when we step off of this field and I take my helmet off and I'm a Black man walking around America and I'm telling you I'm dealing with these things, I'm telling you my communities are dealing with these things, and your response to me is, don't talk about that here. This is not the place. Drew, where is the place, Drew? I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. Because while the world tells you that you're not worthy, that your life doesn't matter, the last place you want to hear from are the guys that you go to war with and that you consider to be allies and to be your friends. Even though we're teammates, I can't let this slide.
So there's Malcolm Jenkins, current New Orleans Saint, former Eagle. He has been kind of at the point on a lot of these issues in the NFL over the past couple of years. His immediate response to that. Let me throw it out. First off, Diesel, after hearing both of those quotes, do you have any reaction to Malcolm Jenkins' reaction, your initial reaction to Drew Brees? Where do you stand with all of this?
Drew's selection of where to go with the conversation, I think, was very poor and selfish. Because right now, the conversation should not be about how Drew Brees feels about his grandfathers when he listens to the national anthem. I understand that that's very important to him. And, of course, I feel the same way about my grandparents, as everyone should. But you have the platform to talk about something that's very important to your teammates, to a lot of people that you go to battle with every single day, every single Sunday, and you chose to make it selfish at that exact moment. You chose, like, we talked about this yesterday. When somebody's protesting, you don't get to assign your own meaning to it. It's not about what you think about their protest. It's about what their protest and what their message actually is. And with Malcolm, sure, I think he's 100% justified in feeling that way. Look, again, Malcolm also doesn't get to tell Drew Brees how to feel when the national anthem starts playing and he starts seeing the flag. Because people don't think alike, and that's fine. Certain things have certain meanings to everyone. But it was tone deaf and selfish for Drew Brees to take the stance he did when he took it. And I can't find a whole lot of fault in Malcolm Jenkins at all.
So I thought about this a lot yesterday. And I this is a very complicated topic for yours truly, because I am a Saints fan. And I'm from the community that Drew Brees has called home for the better part of a decade now. Actually, over a decade now. Well over a decade. Drew Brees is a complicated guy to talk about. Drew Brees has given more back to the community of New Orleans than most anybody, maybe ever. That guy is constantly giving back to that city. But he's also done a lot that has been heavily, and in some cases, I think, deservedly critiqued. Drew Brees has done PSAs and donated to charities that are anti-LGBTQ. He has done ads for organizations that support gay conversion therapy. These are things that are widely critiqued. He has given money to Jimmy John's, whose owner is, in some circles, not a very beloved guy because of some of his non-business activities. Drew Brees is very big into one company that is pretty well known as a pyramid scheme. And he's put his money into that, and into a company that's been accused of really taking advantage of people via a pyramid scheme in the past. Not everything the guy has done is great. Now, I want to start by throwing this part out there. It is possible to understand that when players were kneeling for the national anthem, that they did not intend it as a disrespect to the flag. That is not what they were protesting. They were not protesting the flag or the military or anything else. They were protesting systemic racism within law enforcement organizations and the fact that African Americans statistically are treated poorly by law enforcement compared to other races. That is what that discussion was about. It is possible to understand that and still feel as if the program is disrespectful to the flag and disagree with that style of protesting. The problem becomes the next step that you take from that line of argument, right? So it's understandable to go, I understand why Colin Kaepernick was protesting and why Malcolm Jenkins were protesting. I understand that protest and even agree with them in protest, but say, I still feel kneeling at the flag is disrespectful. It is possible to hold both of those viewpoints. It is logical to hold both of those viewpoints. The question then becomes, where do you go with it next? If the next step that you go is, there's no problem and this is not the right place. Tough decision to discuss. All right. That kind of changes the game just a little bit. That kind of changes the way that it happens a little bit. The problem here is that you can hold that position and then immediately address the issue that is being protested. I think Drew Brees saves himself a lot of trouble. Not clears himself, but saves himself trouble if he says it this way. I do not agree with disrespecting the national flag by taking a knee. However, I agree with the cause of the protest. I agree that there is an issue with which we all need to work on enacting change. I agree and support Colin Kaepernick, Malcolm Jenkins, and every other African-American player who has protested. I don't agree with kneeling at the flag. I think it's disrespectful. But I absolutely do agree with the goals that they are trying to accomplish, and they have my support, and here is how I'm going to support them. Do you see how that could kind of change it up a little bit, right? If you were to say, I disagree with the form of protest, but then to turn around and say, however, you have my full and entire support, and I will work with you to address that issue, then I think at that point, you kind of shift away from the negativity, and by lending your support to this protest, even if not via that form of protest. Because here's the thing. Do you want to know, Diesel? Go back to 2016. Colin Kaepernick, Malcolm Jenkins, a handful of other African-American players, and some number of white players were taking a knee during the national anthem. How many white players do you remember being reprimanded by the black community for not taking a knee during the anthem? Zero. They didn't call out a single player for not taking a knee. Not one. Had Drew Brees just turned around and said, disagree with the form of protest, but actually very much agree with the point, and I support Malcolm Jenkins, I support Colin Kaepernick, I support the rest of these African-American players, and I have their back and they have me as an ally, then at least at that point, you have put yourself in the discussion as a supporter, as an ally, if not in that one particular way. And I think that would have gone a long way into saving it, but that's not what happened. Then he came out and he offered an Instagram apology. And the Instagram apology, in my opinion, and it is nothing more than an opinion, in my opinion, it just kind of felt like damage control less than a sincere apology, right? But Rob, what does this have to do with sports? This is where we are now, okay? This is just where we are. This impacts sports. All right, it's levels less important. But from a sports perspective, this now opens up the conversation. How do black players and white players engage with each other as coworkers, as teammates, if they know that they are having these issues off the field? Does Malcolm Jenkins? And I know that the most common answer is going to be, well, you put all that aside because you have a job to do. You get out there and do the job. And to some level, I agree, right? If Diesel and I have a disagreement off the air because Diesel says Chick-fil-A's chicken sandwich is better and I say Popeye's chicken sandwich is better and we have a fist fight about it, at the end of the day, Diesel and I's responsibility to come in here and put on a show together does not change. And I know that is, I'm obviously making a joke. That's far less, but that's the point I'm driving at. Day-to-day disagreements, you still come in here and do the job. But if Diesel was to say to me, Rob, I don't think you deserve basic human rights, but let's go on the air and pretend like we're happy with each other together and get a show done. That's a little bit different scenario, right? And that's where I think Malcolm Jenkins is being so emotional. That's why he's so emotional in his response there on Instagram. The emotion comes from the fact that by not addressing the protest, if you want to come out and say, I don't agree with the protest because I believe that kneeling at the flag is disrespectful, you stand for it, that's one thing. And if you follow that up with, but I have Malcolm Jenkins back and I agree with him, then at least you're shifting it to the actual discussion. But the point of what Malcolm Jenkins is saying is that that protest went criticized and ignored. The topic they were protesting went ignored, and Drew Brees just did the same thing. How does that impact all of this? 844-GSP, ESPN's the number, 844-477-3776. Text me 71307, start your text with ESPN. We'll address that and more when we come back. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is halftime, coming out of the tunnel for the second half now. Text line 71307 started with ESPN. Got this text at ESPN. And look, there is a sports element to this discussion about Drew Brees, and this texter does a good job framing that. ESPN, regardless of if and when this sort of simmers down, so to speak, Drew Brees is still going to be a marked man for what he loosely let fly out of his mouth. You cannot take words back, and there are those that are unforgiving. I would hate to be him when he faces that, when he faces someone with that much animosity against him. Interesting discussion. At Casey Chelder on Twitter, this is what she posted the part of the apology from Drew Brees on Instagram. And says, this is what he had to say on Twitter. He is incredibly tone deaf and privileged. A lot of emotional response to Drew Brees. And it is very interesting, I think, to see the response, because he's getting it from a lot of different angles. My take on it, I actually tweeted him yesterday, and I know that Drew Brees is a listener of this program, a regular listener, and said my suggestion would be, if you want to try to fix this and the relationships that you have damaged with your African American teammates, my suggestion would be host a listening section. All right, a listening session. My suggestion would be get into a meeting with Malcolm Jenkins, with Mike Thomas, with Alvin Kamara, all of whom displayed some level of anguish because of his comments yesterday. Get together and don't say a word. Just listen to what they have to say to you and then reevaluate your thoughts after that. Because the problem isn't what he said. Like I said, I think it's possible to think that kneeling at the flag is disrespectful, but also support the conversation that those teammates are having and be an ally in those conversations. I think that that is entirely possible. Problem is, you didn't say that and it doesn't feel that way. Let's go to the phone lines. Keegan. P1 on the show. Keegan, welcome in, buddy. Good to have you, man. Thanks for checking in, pal.
Appreciate it. I'm glad you're doing this segment because I am a giant Saints fan. And so the comments that Drew Brees made kind of upset me as a Drew Brees fan also. Also, I just wanted to kind of comment on the people that say it's disrespectful to kneel during the national anthem. My dad, he served in the Air Force. I have a brother who currently is serving in the Air Force, and so we're a military family. We love our country. But both my father and my brother also seem to think that the reason they did what they did and do what they do is for the freedom to kneel at the flag or kneel during the national anthem. People fight for that freedom, and it's almost disrespectful to tell someone that they don't have the freedom to do what they want during that. I think it's almost as disrespectful as some people think that kneeling is. And I agree with you what you said about having a listening session with some of the players. I think that's incredible to do because I work for a large corporation, and anytime that there's anything that goes on during a national current events or anything like that, that's exactly what we do. We get a panel of people together from all backgrounds, all walks of life, and we say, how does this make you feel? And what can we do as a corporation to not appear tone deaf and to actually understand the issue? And I think that's exactly what Drew Brees needs to do. I think that's exactly what NFL teams, owners, before they start making statements, that's exactly what they need to do.
Interesting take. And hang on, I don't want you to hang up yet, Keegan, because I got another facet of conversation that I want to have with you before you go. Okay. But with what you just said, you know, I have heard a lot of different viewpoints on the concept of the flag, okay? I have heard some people go, look, it's a symbol for this country, and despite its flaws, you know, it is still the best place to live in the world, and therefore you should respect the symbol, if not, while still speaking out against the problems that we have here on the home front. I have heard some people say, you know, we put too much stock into the concept of the symbol. You know, at the end of the day, it's just a piece of fabric. But I have found it interesting that, for the most part, the group outside of African-Americans, and there are African-Americans in this group, but outside of black people, the largest voice that I've heard outside of the African-American demographic that have said, we don't have a problem with this, are military folks. I have heard a lot of military folks, including a couple members of my family, who have said, I fight for the right to express your First Amendment speech by taking a knee. It doesn't always mean that they agree with the concept, but they've said to me, I fight for the right to take a knee if that is the way that you feel it is best to express your point and your sentiment. So, you know, it's just kind of interesting to me. Remember, and Keegan, that goes to another point, which is the guy who worked with Colin Kaepernick to come to this solution as a form of protest was, if I recall correctly, an Army Ranger. It was or a Green Beret that basically gave Colin Kaepernick the concept. And if I recall correctly, stood next to him on the field at one point when he took a knee during the national anthem. I have found it amusing at a point in time when we're all trying to be very careful to not speak for other communities, right? I don't want to speak on behalf of black people because I'm not in that community. But I have seen a lot of non-military people say, well, you're disrespecting the military, and seen a lot of military members say, that is one of the rights that we fought for.
Well, it's like we've said on the show before, the college football fans that are the most ridiculous, most obnoxious, and most ruthless college football fan for their school are the ones who never even went to that school. They're the ones that sit on the sideline and develop within themselves this attachment to the school, and it's almost a romanticized version of the school, and they would die for that school as a college football fan. And I think it's the same. Those people who do not serve in the military almost romanticize what it is to be in the military, and just all they see is red, white, and blue, which isn't a bad thing, don't get me wrong, but they just come up with all these beliefs and ideals and this stance as a non-military person that no one in the military shares. And I think it's, like you said, I think it's comical.
I want to address another topic, and we talked about this back earlier in the show, and that is the comments of Dabo Swinney, because that kind of set off a firestorm on Mark Ryan's show yesterday afternoon when he replayed the comments of Dabo Swinney. And to frame this, because I kind of want your response and your thoughts, Keegan, because I know you're very involved with the ministry and big into your church, and very you're a very faithful individual. I said earlier in the show that, look, because of a series, I grew up Irish Catholic. Because of a series of events that have played out in my mind, in my life, I should say, I'm just not a very religious person, right? I don't have any problem, no disrespect. You and I have been, I will loosely, if you don't mind, use the term. You and I have been friends since I've gotten here. We've had plenty of on and off air conversation and have been working on a time to get together and share a drink in the past. And that hasn't impacted our relationship for the reason that I stated, which is I don't have any ill will towards anybody whose faith is a large part of their lives. In fact, I respect it that you have that much conviction in something that you will allow it to be, a very forceful force, for lack of better terminology, in your life. And I heard a lot of people yesterday say that people were attacking Dabo Swinney because of his faith, attacking Dabo Swinney because of his Christianity, attacking Dabo Swinney because he made that faith and that Christianity kind of the central viewpoint in his response to all that's going on with the protests around the death of George Floyd. My take on it was, no, I don't think that's the case. I don't think anybody's attacking, or at least I don't think the majority of people that have criticized Dabo are attacking Dabo for putting his faith out there as his number one response to it, but more along the lines saying it's a great starting point, and to attack this issue alongside your faith or with your faith out front is absolutely a positive. The problem is that for in a position that Dabo Swinney holds with the authority that he commands by being the head coach of arguably the nation's most prominent football team right now, it's just not going far enough. As somebody who is very involved with the ministry, who lives your life and has your faith as a driving factor in your life, what's your response to all of that?
So for me, I honestly would have done something very similar to what Dabo did, because when you have a faith in your life, and when your life is based on faith, your faith just simply becomes the filter in which you process. And so whatever situation is happening, your faith becomes a filter. And so you process the current event and you say, okay, so what does the Bible say about this? What does God say about this? What do my beliefs say about this? And I think there's a huge difference. And I texted in earlier, there's a huge difference between having faith and then acting in faith, because you can have faith all day and do absolutely nothing. You change nothing. You don't change anyone around you. And you're basically just holding your spot in heaven, if you will. But faith, you need to have action behind it. And so could Dabo have done a little bit more or said a little bit more? I don't know if he could have said a little bit more, but he definitely could have done a little bit more. He could, like we said, either have a listening session or tell the media, hey, this is what our team is going to do in regards to the national anthem. This is what our team is going to do in protest, and just verbalize it. Yes, I'm going to allow my players to protest because I agree with their sentiment. But I don't think that he was being attacked for his faith. I think he was just being attacked because it seemed almost as if it was just more so words than actions. And it's like you said, I forget which coach said it, but hope is not a plan. And it's the same. Faith, you can have all the faith in the world, but unless you put that faith into action, it doesn't make an impact. And that, as a believer, that is our biggest goal. Our goal is to make an impact on others and make an impact on the world around us.
Interesting. Keegan, appreciate the phone call, man. Great to have you on the program. I appreciate it, pal. Thanks for checking in. Let's take a break. Come back in just a minute. We can address that and more. It's the Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate. Last segment, I turned my mic on too early. This time, I turned it on too late. The struggle's real. Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. Rob Diesel and you. If you'd like to comment on the discussions we've been having here on the show, whether it's Drew Brees or Dabo Swinney, you're more than welcome to. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text me 71307. Start your text with ESPN. Hit us on the Twitter at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show. And again, if you've got more long format that you'd like to get into, you can email me, robbrown@espnupstate.com. robbrown@espnupstate.com. Always for you to get in touch with the show today. Real quick, before we move on to the next segment, we have now found out that as voluntary workouts have resumed, we are starting to see, as anticipated, positive tests for the coronavirus start to pop up around the country. What we know right now is that Oklahoma State University has had 5 positive coronavirus tests amongst their football program, including 2 players that were involved in protests over the weekend. The University of Alabama has now had 5 players show up to voluntary workouts positive for the coronavirus as well. So we are seeing multiple stories start to pop up with the coronavirus being showing up inside of football organizations at the collegiate level. What impact is this going to have? What is going to happen? I'm not 100% sure. What I will tell you is that Lincoln Riley, head coach of the University of Oklahoma, I should say Oklahoma University, OU, Boomer Sooner, he's come out and said that, quote, sadly in our college game, which, by the way, we've said this a bunch of times, Diesel, in athletics, high school, college, even up to the pros, voluntary workouts, what does that mean?
That means mandatory workouts.
Yeah, it means get your ass on field, right? We know what that means. Lincoln Riley said, quote, sadly in our college game, voluntary has always been a very loose term. The reality of the matter is there's different institutions and there's different conferences that allow you to do a different amount or just look the other way. It's unfortunate that's where it's come to right now, but we have other parts of our year where that's always been an issue, and it's well known across coaches, players across the country. That's a rule that's applied very differently different places and in different places in the country. I'm sure the temptation will be high, just like the temptation to get players back on campus right away was high. I think it just all comes down to your priorities and what you believe is best. Now, Oklahoma is allowed to open facilities to players June 15th, but the school decided to do so, decided not to do so, and has postponed that return to campus until July 1st. SEC schools will welcome students back on Monday. Keep in mind, these players that are testing positive, these are not players on campus. These are players before they come back to campus. So Alabama has 5 players on the roster, not on campus, but are expected to return 3.5 days from now, who are already positive. How many players have not been tested that will show up Monday positive?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question.
Yep. It's bad. It's gonna spread quickly. I mean, we look at, you get groups of people together, and that's exactly how it spreads. You said several of these players at Oklahoma State participated in protests over the weekend. They contracted it. They could have easily brought it to the facility, and then, boom, it's a big problem in the facility.
844-GSP-ESPN. Take a real quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number 2. Head into hour number 3. And on the way to Friday, it's Rob. It's Diesel. It's you. It's the Rob Brown Show. ESPN Upstate. Heading towards the hour, top of the hour, and into hour number 3. But we'll end it with a phone call. Carlton wants to check in on the program. Carlton, welcome to the Rob Brown Show. Appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. What you got for us?
I want to respond to something you said earlier concerning your friend. I want to say that's a positive thing which has happened. We're not just praying, asking God to let things happen. We also believe that God is also answering those prayers. Now, the last part of the phase is trying to get to deal with police brutality has not totally been done yet. But for 99 years, after slavery was over, the Civil Rights Law passed in 1964, signed by Lyndon B. Johnson, that ended segregation, especially throughout the South, and integrated schools and all this kind of thing that has taken place since then. There's been some positive thing to happen through race relationship as a result of that. So now we're dealing with the last phase of what's going to happen since the passing of the Civil Rights Law 56 years. Yes, police brutality has been bad to blacks in general, but there also been some positive things. All police is not bad, so we have to keep that in mind. I understand that the protests that we have that's going on out there now, those protests are positive in some instances. Sometimes they become negative when individuals forget about the fact that they're destroying property that belongs to them and that kind of thing, that we should not be doing that. But the thing that we should be doing I'm happy to see that we got all groups of people coming together, advocating for a change. And as a result of it, a change will take place now, like, because we're now looking at the nations or even the world all looking together. Hey, something needs to happen because America sets the example for the world. We want to tell others about democratic process and want them to stop violating human rights. So we got to do the same thing here. We have to set the example as a country. I'm not so much worried about what Drew Brees said, because I understand that many times people do not totally understand the struggle when you are not have walked in that individual's shoes and you are not black, so you don't understand it. Then you get pulled over and you tell our children, I got two boys and a daughter, they're grown now, but I had to share with them, hey, when you get pulled over, make sure that your hands are up front, that they can be seen. I want you to come home safe, because he's going to go home. Will he take your life? Not. So I want you to come home. You know, so I want to share with you that I have never called in before, but you have such a wonderful program today. I just want to comment on this a little.
Well, thank you very much, Carlton. I appreciate that, man. It's great to hear from you. And it's interesting you brought up that you've had to have that talk with your kids, because there is another very well-respected African-American athlete who is well-loved by every community who talked about the exact same thing. And I got the audio from that coming back. Kind of share some insight, like Carlton said, and I agree with him. You got to see where other people are coming from if we want any of this to stop. 844-GSP-ESPN. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.